You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And a good Friday afternoon. Hello, my friends. Woo! Woo! We got Chiefs football tomorrow, 3:30.
Yeah, we do.
Let's go.
Rumor is two members of the show are headed there.
No way.
Is there a rumor?
Did word get out?
Ain't this one.
Oh, did I violate a trust?
Ooh! Are you going to the game?
I think you violated a trust.
Never mind.
Dirty dog.
I'm sorry.
I haven't been to a game all year.
I didn't know.
Maybe I have. I don't think I have.
Dan?
Snitches get stitches.
Can we please talk about the shirts? The boys are so smart. The sports boys. I love those boys. You know those boys. I love them. Mm-hmm. They had an idea, a la Creed Humphrey, who shows up to every game with duct tape on his chest, that this is my shirt for the Broncos game or this is my shirt for the Texans game. They had shirts printed up that says, this is my shirt for the playoffs.
That's pretty cool.
It's so cool, and I stole three of them.
I stole one, too.
It's going to be cold tomorrow.
Oh, my God. So the high tomorrow is 33. No. That is tonight's overnight low.
Oh, right. I was going to say, did that get updated? Because I saw that the high midday tomorrow is 22.
So the high tomorrow is 33, but that high will be reached at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. This is not going to be as cold as last year's game.
No, please. Talk to me or anyone else who went to that game, and then I will consider having a conversation with you all about whether or not this Saturday's game is going to be cold.
I was there.
I mean, I'm pretty sure there are men who had their nipples surgically removed.
Excuse me?
There were men
that thought
it would be a good idea to take their shirts off, and I don't think that ended well for them. Well, it ended with a visit to KU is what it did.
There were people at that game that were not wearing shirts.
Scott, we had, I don't remember the exact number of amputations.
There were several.
But it was more than a dozen. Fingers here, toes there.
Yeah.
And I was joking when I said this online the other day, like, but can you amputate nipples? And I think the answer is yes.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I was in the lower
slice
bowl.
Slice them right off.
And the front row, right in front of the section that I was in, had three guys with no shirts on, and they didn't have their shirt on for like three quarters of the game.
Why?
Booze.
Well, I know.
Oh.
But what was the temperature that day? Like three?
Real temperature was about 4 degrees.
With a negative 20
feels like
windchill,
was
right?
20 below. Yeah.
Yeah, it was cold.
And you're going to take your shirt off to prove that you're a tough guy?
Well, I don't know. We witnessed a lot of interesting behavior that day.
I had ski goggles on so that my eyeballs wouldn't freeze, and this guy was like, let him out!
Yeah, wow. I had Taylor Swift behind me and Nipple Man in front of me, and I'm like, I don't know that I've ever been so happy or so cold.
Sounds like a great day.
All right, speaking of cold, we did some work behind the scenes for y'all. We got a packed show today.
Mm-hmm.
But I even told a listener at Quick Trip, where I popped to get my little iced tea on the way in, he said, hey, I listen to your show every day. And I go, ma'am, here to tell you, tune in the 4 o'clock hour, because I got a phone call this morning from the chief of police in Liberty regarding the heroic actions of our first responders this week. They went into an icy body of water under a bridge where a woman and her baby, she lost control of what looks like a minivan. It goes careening down the embankment and lands on its side in these icy waters about thigh deep is what it looked like. And she's on the water side. Thank God of the way the car ended up tilting. The baby is suspended on the back passenger side.
Thank God.
And I don't know if we got a little bit of the beginning of them sliding down this embankment to run and get this mom and baby out. It is, I mean, Dan and I watched the video. I was so stressed out watching the video, and we've seen some rescues in our careers.
Sure. This was quite the rescue because
they're heroes, man.
Where that SUV went off and slid down and that little creek. By next to the culvert, a lot of water, a lot of ice.
Yep. You just hear them at one point saying, we've got you. We're going to get you out. And baby's screaming in the back, and they're like, we're coming. And they will be in studio at 4:15.
Yeah.
Go ahead, play it. It's him sliding down the embankment.
We're going to get you.
Where's the child at, in the rear?
He's right here. We just can't get the door open.
Piper 3, throw down your blast master. Hang tight. I'm going to cut your windshield out, okay?
Oh, my gosh. I'm stressed out just listening to it. But they do it every day. I mean, that's what our first responders do.
That water had to be so cold. Oh, my God.
Weight of the automobile cracked the ice, and you can just see the, you know, chunks of ice all around those men and women that are trying to get in there and save that baby.
And the police officer, you know, was on the ice. It cracked. He went into the water up to his waist, and he keeps going.
Yep.
We've got a rescue at hand. Keep going.
He will be in studio in the 4 o'clock hour, and the firefighters will join us via phone because they are on duty today, Scott. And one of the things the officer said was, I agree to do that interview if the firefighters do it with me.
Very humble.
Joint effort. So that's at 4 o'clock, and whew, I need to come down from watching that video. I'm like, what?
See, I didn't watch it. I listened to it because I told Dana in the newsroom, I wanted to see, I wanted to hear how it would play on the radio. Like, can you tell what's going on without watching the video?
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, you can.
It's really the fact that I'm the one that absorbs all of the trauma for this show.
Of course, you didn't want to watch it.
You're like a trauma sponge.
I'm like, I'll do it.
By the way, the inauguration on Monday, which I believe we are carrying live, has been moved indoors because the temperatures in Washington are going to be so cold.
They've been colder.
The only one other time, it was in 1985.
Reagan's second
inauguration, and they moved that one indoors.
We will be carrying that on Monday. I believe it starts at 10 a.m.
Could they move it to 2?
Well, wow. The Constitution.
It is a federal holiday. You know, I'm starting to get texts that the banks are closed and my credit union's closed.
Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah, it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
All right.
We are not closed.
We are the only radio station in this building that works on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
We're here. We don't give up. We have a job. We're here to do it. We're going to do it.
That's right.
But I will only do it if you and Sam and Dan are with me.
Well, we'll be here.
All right.
Dan, are you going to be here?
Yeah, I think I'll be here.
Oh!
Did I just pull you out of a day off?
Oh!
Were you planning to cash in on that company holiday?
Wow!
No, I was going to be here anyway. I'm just playing.
Okay.
When we get back from the Associated Press, the NCAA, Women's March Madness, they're going to be paid to play. But is it NIL? Or are they just getting paid to play? It's a fascinating story.
The word I keep seeing is proportionate.
Proportionate. Okay. We'll get to that and much more coming up. Don't forget, we have Festivus Friday coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon. The airing of the grievances that is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com. So we have two stories related to funding, if you will, paying in the NCAA.
It's a confusion bomb dropped on the NCAA this afternoon is what it is, Scott.
So first, this story from the Associated Press, women's basketball teams, finally will be paid for playing games in the NCAA tournament every March, just like the men have for years, under a plan approved this week at the NCAA convention. The unanimous vote by NCAA membership, which was met by a round of applause, was the final step toward a pay structure for women playing in March Madness. NCAA President Charlie Barker joined others in giving credit for the creation of a performance fund to those who came before and helped build women's basketball. Now comes more work to continue investing in women's basketball to grow the sport even more. Then,
Here's the whopper from the Athletic and the Department of Education. It's a 9-page, Scott, Department of Education memo saying NIL payments must be proportionate between male and female athletes to be in compliance with Title IX.
But that's not how NIL works.
No, it's not.
NIL doesn't come from the school. NIL comes from the booster programs, which are separate from the school, which is why they were allowed to pass the NIL thing in the first place.
But listen to this, Sam. Title IX regulations require schools to provide equal athletic opportunity, regardless of sex, with athletic financial assistance that schools award to college athletes. According to this 9-page fact sheet, the Department of Ed basically says the funds provided by a third-party source do not relieve a school of its responsibility to treat all of its students in a non-discriminatory manner. It says it doesn't matter if the money comes from a booster, from ad revenue, from jersey sales. It does not matter what the third-party funding is. The way the Department of Education is reading this, it has to be in proportion to come into alignment with the Title IX regulations.
What about the funding that the individual sport and its athletes provide the university, i.e. football, is the biggest revenue generator at almost every university that has football and basketball?
Even the basketball-centric schools make more money off of football than they do off of basketball.
If I'm not mistaken, KU makes more money off of football than it does basketball.
Every single year.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't make any sense to me, because if you are talking about it needs to be proportional, what the school gives the athletes for both men and women, it is proportional currently, because the school currently gives $0.00 to the athletes, the male athletes and the female athletes.
Great point.
It's equal.
That's a great point.
Zero is equal. But what happens once it's not?
The money comes from a third party source, whether it's a booster who's going to pay you to not mow his grass, or jersey sales at, Jocksnitch in downtown Lawrence or whatever. That is not coming from the university. That's a great point, Sam.
Under the terms of the House settlement, a game-changing legal agreement that's expected to be approved this spring, universities will be able to pay athletes directly under a revenue-sharing plan that would see the biggest schools distribute around $20 million to each, to athletes. This is the next sentence that's important. Many of the schools have publicly stated the majority of that money will go to football and men's basketball players, which, according to this guidance today, will be in violation of Title IX.
I don't think that's accurate.
No, that is accurate. They did pass a pay-to-play, meaning the school can pay the players that aren't getting NIL deals to make it more of a level playing field. In that portion of the funding, should that actually roll out, because there is no guarantee, they just passed it saying that that can roll out, should that actually come into play? Yeah, that would have to be equal. I understand that portion of it.
That they would have to pay every athlete that is not getting an NIL so they can even the playing field a little bit the same amount of money.
If an HVAC company wants to pay DeColdest Crawford, and that is a real college player, or he was, I don't know if he graduated yet or not, his first name is DeColdest, he had an HVAC NIL deal.
Okay.
If they want to pay him $1 million, you can't take half of that and say, well, now we have to pay the female DeColdest playing basketball that other half million.
The one thing I will agree with you on, Sam, is that name, image, and likeness, Scott, if you are the athlete, they are paying you for your name, image, and likeness.
And it's a third party.
And it doesn't matter if it's a third party.
Why?
Because the rules state very clearly it doesn't matter. Listen to this. When a school provides athletic financial assistance in forms other than scholarships or grants, including compensation for student athletes NIL, such assistance also must be made proportionately available to male and female athletes.
No.
I'm telling you, I understand what Sam's saying, that Scott Parks, if you were a football player and a big car dealership wants to give you $10,000, they're giving Scott Parks that for your name, image, and likeness. Correct. Not Dana's name, image, and likeness if I'm a bowler at Tulane.
But I think we're conflating the stories here, because they're not going to be pulling half of Arch Manning's $8.7 million, I believe he got this last year. They're not going to be pulling half of that and dispersing it among women's sports, because that is in violation of Title IX. They're just talking about once the 2025 season starts and they have implemented the new program where the schools are actually directly paying the players, that has to be proportional. And I'm all for that.
Well, and that's fine with me. If the university is saying, the freshman linebacker that is redshirted, but we really want to keep him because we think he's going to be a superstar. If he's getting, say, $1,000 a month, do you then have to pay every woman on the volleyball team and every woman on the rowing team and every woman on the softball team $1,000 a month? Is that what we're saying?
At the end of the day, the balance sheet has to be equal for men and women.
Then get ready for universities to start slashing athletics. Sports that do not turn a profit will be gone. Now, with Title IX, the way I understand it, and maybe I don't understand it correctly, for every male sport that you provide, you have to provide a female sport, not necessarily
the same sport.
Right. Not the same sport. You don't have to have a woman's football team, but if you have a men's football team at your university, you have to have, you know, volleyball, women's volleyball or something like that.
It's not about the number of sports. It's about the number of dollars. So if you have a men's basketball program and a men's football program, and you only have a women's soccer program, they have to spend the same amount of money on that women's soccer program that they spend on football and basketball.
So get ready for universities to cut lacrosse, track and field, rowing. These are sports that don't make money.
Well, Scott, or men's swim and dive. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's a former NCAA watchdog president named David Ridpath, and he is quoted in U.S. News and World Report today saying this memo is not surprising and is, quote, very consistent with the law. There has always been a question of how Title IX applies to NIL. There is just more guidance here, essentially following the law the way it's always been written. And listen to this. Though the government has the authority to crack down on schools that violate Title IX, typically, those actions come from athletes suing the schools. Mm-hmm. There is one such lawsuit now involving more than two dozen female athletes who are suing the University of Oregon.
And we now have a separate decision regarding March Madness for women's NCAA basketball, where the teams are going to get 26% of the revenue in a new deal to make it more proportional to what the teams were receiving from the deal from March Madness on the men's
side. Most people said when they first said we're going to start paying athletes or we're going to allow NIL, all of those things. You remember how many people said this is going to be a legal nightmare?
It has literally turned the big college sports, football and basketball, men's and women's in some regards, into a professional league.
Oh, I've said
and I'm telling you this right now. Other than a few, a handful of universities like South Carolina, Connecticut, Tennessee, Iowa now because of Caitlin Clark, the only two profitable sports at a university, profitable, are football and men's basketball.
Quit pretending they're student athletes.
They're not.
Call them athletes, and if they want to be a student, allow them to attend the school. If they don't, pay them to play the sport.
Yeah, athletes who sometimes go to class.
Yep.
913-586-7798. Shane in Olathe. Shane, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon. I was telling Sam, I think the nature of the NIL itself is discriminatory. I was on the rowing team at KU. I was on crew. At the same time, Danny Manning, you know, was going to school with me. They weren't going to give me any money. I mean, if this was, you know, 30 years ago, they weren't going to give me any money because I didn't draw anything. I mean, I didn't bring in any money. So I don't know. I think once they started going down that road of NIL, this was just a, like you were saying, a bomb that was just getting ready to go off. How do you keep it fair? This is a capitalist society where people want to pay for the popular, you know, Danny Manning would have brought in customers. I wouldn't have brought in any customers.
You've heard Shane Scott Pollard say, who definitely would have brought in money, that none of the athletes during his time were paid for anything. And I think he was a huge proponent of paying them now, but he missed the boat like you did. Does this mean that rowing would go away?
Yes. If we have to pay, or we decide to pay to keep a football player or a young basketball player that we really want, we believe they're the future of our program, so we're going to pay them $1,000 a month. They're not getting any NIL. They're not playing at the moment, so they're not, you know, famous yet, if you will, air quotes. If we give him $1,000 to stay on the basketball team, to stay committed to us and not go into the portal, then we have to go pay the rowing team $1,000 a month. the volleyball team $1,000 a month, the softball team $1,000 a month,
sports that don't bring in a profit. You would agree that all schools have a communal interest in having a wide variety of activities and sports.
I would not agree with that.
How can you not agree with that?
Because if it's costing us money as a university, where are we going to get that money back?
But those universities are flush with money, and you know it's
Well, in a perfect world, I agree with that, but it's not a perfect world.
Yeah.
I think there's room for everyone.
For the rowing team, no offense, Shane. The rowing team would cease to exist. If the University of Kansas had to pay the rowers the same thing that they were paying a women's college basketball player that they really wanted to keep on the roster but wasn't seeing any playing time yet, or a football player that is a quarterback but he's third string right now so he's never going to play this season, but we want him, we think he's the future of the program. If we have to pay him $1,000 a month and then we have to go pay 20 rowers $1,000 a month, which is $20,000, for a program that doesn't bring in any money, that program is gone.
Could they pay the other athletes in scholarships, which does not...
That's what it was originally supposed
to be. Theoretically cost the university anything. It does and it doesn't.
Well, it's butts in seats in classrooms that you could have... I mean, KU turns away students because they can only fit so many students on campus. Ooh, we're late for break. Sorry. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Telephone number is 913-586-7798. We are discussing the story about NIL and Title IX and what universities would have to pay athletes of programs that, quite frankly, don't bring in a profit. And they're so unknown, they don't get NIL deals. Read what John Grayson wrote you, and then let Sam respond to that real quick.
It's really, really smart, actually, as Grayson usually is. He said, keep in mind, the verbiage that we're seeing today doesn't say the money needs to be equal. It says it needs to be proportional. But he writes, proportional based on what? Mm-hmm. Size of the team, amount of money they bring in. How does anyone begin to figure out those proportions?
Now, what's your reaction to that, Sam?
As I understand it, and I'm no expert here, but as I understand it, proportional means based on the demographics of the school. So let's take Missouri S&T, for example, where we know historically there are far more men than women at that university. Let's just throw a ballpark out there that it's 70-30. That means the sports at Missouri S&T, 70% of that funding has to go to men's sports, 30% has to go to women's sports. And that has been a rule within within Title IX since its inception. It was never 50-50. It's proportional based on...
Well, it couldn't be. I mean, football itself makes it a misnomer because, you know, there are sometimes so many players on a college football team, they have to double up in numbers because they have more than 100 players. I mean, that in and of itself means that there has to be more male athletes on campus if you have a college football program.
But as I understand it, it's not athlete-driven. It's demographics of the school in its entirety.
Okay. 913-586-7798.
It's clear as mud, isn't it?
It is. Jay in North Kansas City. Hello, Jay.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
We're doing well. Go ahead.
I have a son. He's a local kid. He swims for an SEC team. I don't want to mention his name. I don't know if there's any retaliation to all this.
No, that's fine. But,
anyway, he's a freshman, and last summer he committed, or his junior year in high school, he committed and then, you know, was offered a 4-year contract. And then after this swim season started, you know, they start coming out with all these new roster limits that they're going to basically cut the teams in half instead of, like you've mentioned, possibly eliminating the programs. But, and also that 4-year guarantee is going away if on April 7th. The judge says, just goes ahead and lets this roll on through. And so basically, you know, the team he's on is basically a top 20 program. And even like Texas being the top team is probably going to lose. They're going to have to cut 5 kids. And then it's just going to keep rolling downhill. And my son is probably on the bubble. And it's going to be okay that he gets cut, even though we signed on for a 4-year agreement. I'm a construction worker. My wife is a high school counselor. You know, it's not like we're affluent and where it doesn't matter and we can just keep our kid there. This scholarship that he's received is important for him to stay at that school. So it's basically they're able to just go ahead and cut anyone they want. They don't have to have the 4-year agreement is no more. And it's, you know, I understand that football and basketball make all the money, but you've still made this commitment to this family.
Right.
And this athlete who has worked their tails off to get that to this point ever since they were 5-6 years old, and then just go ahead and pull the rug out just for they can pay all the football players and basketball players.
Would you have any sort of legal recourse?
Well,
is a scholarship technically a contract?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I would believe so. I mean, we based our decisions, you know, on going to this school off this contract. We had other offers too to go to other schools.
Yeah.
And
Jay, I hear you, and
that makes me mad.
And I'm sorry about your situation and the situation for your son, but I don't think a scholarship is a contract, and here's why. Every single season since they created the transfer portal, players are leaving universities. So it can't be just that the university is bound by this 4-year agreement to provide you with an education if you come play that sport. When players are leaving these universities, getting into the portal and going somewhere
else. Those are the highest level, you know, usually basketball and football players. And I would suggest to you there has to be legal protections for families like Jay, who in good faith do all of the research, make all of the college visits, and then say, we are going to forego opportunities at all of the other schools and choose you.
Right.
And then for that school to somehow be able to turn around in 6 months because of the NIL issue and say, we're going to cut everyone, that is so grossly unfair if it is allowed.
But I remember there was a young man, and text line, help me out here. There was a young man from Wichita. He was a running back, if I'm not mistaken. And he originally signed with K-State, then got a better NIL deal with another university, rescinded his scholarship from K-State. He hadn't even played yet. He was still in high school. Rescinded his scholarship offer from K-State, signed with another school, then gets a better offer from Notre Dame.
Right.
And
he left.
before he had ever graduated high school, he had already signed deals, scholarships with 3 universities.
So prior to the whole NIL shakeup and the transfer portal, it was not a legally binding contract, but it was pretty well known that once you commit to a school, you're sticking with that school. And if you drop that commitment, another school is not going to pick you up because they're putting themselves out there to try to welcome you into their university. And now with the transfer portal, they shook it up by allowing these players to act like they're professional athletes and leave whenever they want to.
Story here from CNN. The Supreme Court ruled today that a controversial ban on TikTok will and may take effect this Sunday, rejecting an appeal from the popular app's owners that claimed the ban violated the First Amendment. The Supreme Court handing down an unsigned opinion. There were no noted dissents. So,
wow.
Which is to say it was 9-0. The decision, which followed warnings from the Biden administration that the app posed a grave national security threat because of its ties to China, will allow the ban to start on Sunday. But there are a lot of lingering questions about how the ban would work in practice, because there's no precedent for the U.S. government blocking a major social media platform. And how exactly the government would enforce it remains unclear. You know, I was...
How do they? Do they geofence it?
I have no idea.
A $5,000 fine to the app stores that still allow you to download the app per user.
Oh, well, that will happen very quickly then.
$8.5 billion, I believe, would be the sum if one of the app stores doesn't remove the app from
the app store in my iPhone. The people who work at the app store, wherever that's got to be an actual place somewhere. If you work at the app store, they're basically today scrambling to figure out how to just stop TikTok on how do we longer offer this as part of our smorgasbord of apps that you can sign up for.
It would be incredibly easy for them to shut it down.
Just bye-bye. Yeah. We're going
to
be done.
All you do is just write the code to say this isn't acceptable anymore for Apple operating systems. Apple or Google or I think those are the two major app stores would be subject to a $5,000 fine per user.
Never got on TikTok. Are you on it, Sam, real quick?
I'm not.
Okay. This will have an impact.
Why didn't you ask me?
On a small... Scott.
Never mind.
This will have an impact, and it will be a decent financial impact on a small amount of Americans who started making money off of the content because they are super popular and have, 50,000 followers and above.
Got hundreds of thousands of dollars for some of them.
Paychecks will now stop, and I have never been so thankful that I did not become active on that platform. I didn't want to add another one.
Now, if you're good enough to manipulate the algorithm to get to the point that you're making $500,000 on TikTok, you can switch over to Facebook Reels and make the same kind of money.
I was listening to Michael Smirkanish the other day, and it was yesterday, and he had a great point. He's very smart. I believe he's a lawyer by trade. And if I remember the conversation correctly, this is all based on a 1912 law that makes it illegal for a foreign country, to own any sort of media. And this was back in the days of the newspaper, of course. It predated radio and television. For a foreign country to own something that was in the media. So is that to say that if a Chinese newspaper is owned by the Chinese government, that we can't
have it here?
Correct.
I don't know.
I mean, how far does this law from 1912, the way I understand it, how far does that extend?
And is the thinking because they are using that to make us dumber and using that to spy on us or whatever?
Or influence our thoughts.
Yeah, that is the really sort of intrinsic reason that it is in the United States' best interest to not let that in. And then I would ask you, where do you draw that line? There's all kinds of things that we ingest and use as consumers that probably aren't in the nation's best interest.
And at what point do we turn into the exact thing that we point at and mock for limiting their ability to ingest certain content based on what their government deems acceptable?
913-586-7798, 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. There is a reason as you enter a highway in some places, it tells you no bicycling, no walking.
Every on-ramp says that.
Just before 2 o'clock this morning, Overland Park Police responded to a serious crash on westbound I-435 at Knoll. Upon arrival, police found a driver stopped after hitting a man on a bicycle. The bicyclist, Michael Nolan, age 27 of Springfield, Missouri, was killed on impact. The driver cooperated with officers. He was not hurt. Three lanes of the highway were closed until 6:15 this morning, roughly 4 hours after the collision.
Oh, that is so sad.
What is somebody... I'm not blaming the victim. Well, I am, kind of, I guess. What is somebody doing on a bicycle on an interstate?
It is, technically, if we're going to go there, it is against the law for all of the obvious reasons to do that. You've entered a highway entrance ramp before, and it says on there, no pedestrians, bicycles, skateboards. You know, it lists all kinds of
e-scooters.
And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, my God bless him. That is awful.
I almost feel as sorry for the driver as I do for the bicyclist.
And with all the snow on the side of the highways right now, you can't exactly bike down the shoulder. He was probably, or she...
His name was Michael. I was driving. I had to come into work yesterday morning early to record some commercials. But I was at the gym, my gym, which is down by 103rd. And so I'm coming up Metcalf yesterday, northbound on Metcalf. And they have not shoveled the sidewalks on Metcalf, the city, or the businesses that own the property. I'm in the far right lane. It's obviously three lanes in both directions. I'm heading northbound.
Yep. Snow cut off, did you? Did you get a snow cut off?
No, I didn't. I got a pedestrian cut off. There was a man walking south in northbound lanes of Metcalf in my lane.
Why?
And I was, you know, I'm going 40 miles an hour. That's the speed limit. And I look up and there's this guy just walking down the street because the sidewalks aren't cleared.
Yeah. Have you also noted on certain entrance ramps, and talk to your younger kid drivers about this, when you are entering the highway at certain spots all over town, the far, 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 far right lane where you are entering has not been plowed or removed.
Correct.
And so as you enter, there isn't that catch-up lane to you know, gain speed and then safely merge left. You're sort of just shoved left.
Well, even on Shawnee Mission Parkway over here in Merriam, and sorry, Merriam, I'm going to throw you under the bus here for a second. They did clear all three lanes, but there's so much snowpack on the, you know, and they have the the concrete things we were talking about the other day.
The Jersey barriers.
Jersey barriers. It's all packed up against there. I was in the right lane of Shawnee Mission Parkway today, and quite frankly, I think I was a little bit in the center lane because there's so much snowpack, I couldn't keep my car in the right lane.
Yeah. That's how I ended up. I told you guys yesterday that I hit a snowpack and shifted over about a half a lane. I was getting onto the highway, and the person to my left decided that they wanted to stay in that spot. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a tight squeeze. And it was a tight squeeze.
How tight was it, sir?
Well, I found out that if you hit a snowpack at about 50 miles an hour, you're going to change lanes without trying to. Thankfully, nothing happened to my vehicle.
All right, we've got Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. The airing of the grievances, that is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fixed today at Q39KC.com.
Also coming up, what is the latest ruling on the Kansas two-step? If you were on a highway and happened to get pulled over on the Kansas side, there has been a court ruling that kind of throws some confusion into that case that we've talked about quite a bit on this program. Then coming up at 4 o'clock, do not forget, the hero officer and firefighters, we have three of them joining us, who saved that woman and that baby who lost control on a roadway in Liberty, slid all the way down an embankment into the icy waters below, and we have the audio for you, as well as those three men.
There are heroes among us. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes. Sam Stevie III, she is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.